You're on RN, Daniel Browning here with you. There've been repeated calls over the years for colourblind casting in Australian theatre. But how conscious are we of the cultural background of actors when we sit down to watch a play in a theatre? For a new work, it probably doesn't matter a great deal. What baggage do we, the audience, bring, though, to a work of classical theatre, which supposes that people of colour didn't exist? I reckon colourblind casting might have more to do with us today. Well, Bel Shakespeare's new production of Julius Caesar is the latest to tackle that concept of colourblind casting. Ngarrindjeri man Russell Smith and Genoa Gila from the Torres Strait are two among 10 actors who've taken on the political tragedy. They spoke to Rudy Bremer about what impact is felt when actors of colour take on roles traditionally offered only to white actors.
Do you remember this yarn they had, we had in rehearsals, G, about the way in which Caesar speaks to the people? He is a leader of the people, and the people within the piece love him, and that's one of the things. You know, we open the show with the mob, as we say, within the piece, but the people celebrating Caesar's recent victory. And then later on in the piece, we hear as Caesar goes out to the people and is offered a crown, and he turns it by how many times, G?
Thrice.
Yeah, G is the one who actually her character explains that to us. But I suppose the interesting thing within that is what we see within Caesar is in front of the people, or his perception from the people is he is this great, strong leader. But what we actually see within him at times is him actually, and he says it, you know, I'm not scared, but I am scared. You know, and he's struggling with the idea of losing power and fear within that.
So when it comes to a work like Julius Caesar, do you think that having that racial diversity changes the work in any sort of significant way?
I mean, from my perspective, I think actually before we talk about the show itself, I actually think that the cast itself on a stage has something to be said. Like, to have such a diverse cast on the mainstream platforms is already saying something.
There's no white cast members, is that right?
There's one.
There's one.
Nick Simpson-Deeks.
Yeah, he was the year above me at NIDA. So when in my training, he was the year above me.
But yeah, he's actually the only Anglo. Yeah.
I mean, everyone would you say a person of colour or a person of, we got the biggest mob of different people there.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things with Shakespeare that we're always doing is we're always like looking back at these old yarns, you know, and it's an old yarn that lots of people may or may not have come into contact with. And when we're actually looking at a new work, looking at these works and then exploring them in a new way, I think you want as many different perspectives as possible. It's not like, you know, if we're going to do Shakespeare, we're just going to get a whole bunch of people who are Roman, and in any way that we're going to reinterpret a work, it is better to get as many different points of view. And maybe that was Bell's idea at the time, I'm not sure, but it seems to be what has happened, I would feel, throughout the rehearsal process. Would you say that, G?
Well, yeah, because James actually came looking for us all. He had a specific idea, I guess, about who he wanted to play the roles for this particular Julius Caesar, and he smashed it.
That's interesting. So I was reading a little bit about the way that other companies around the world have played with colorblind casting, or the potential
that's
for
such an interesting
casting.
Way of talking about,
and that's this
thing,
is the thing,
stinking heck.
Because so Deborah Ann Bird, who's the founder of Harlem Shakespeare, she's an African American actor, and she argues that it's never possible to do colorblind casting because as soon as you put somebody on a stage, like, people can't actually not acknowledge color, and there is a problem in trying to do that. In and of itself?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, one of these conversations came up the other day, and I can't remember where it was, and I was talking about when I came into, this is maybe a sidestep of the topic, but maybe it's more of an anecdote in regards to it, is when I came into this industry, was like, now I show my age there, but I graduated NIDA in 2002, and one of the big shows on at the time. Do you mob remember Secret Life of Us?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Remember Deb Mailman on that? And it was like, for me, it was the first time that I actually saw this lady there on, like, one of our mob up on the screen there. And she was, it wasn't explained why, you know, her Aboriginality wasn't necessarily part of the role. It was just, she was just there, which is
kind of. She was just a human being.
Well, kind of, I mean, in my life, and this is me specifically, in my life, I've got different mob from everywhere, you know, whether they be Indigenous, whether they be Lebanese descent, whether they be Serbian or Anglo descent, doesn't matter. I've got different mob everywhere. But I'm not, for me in particular, watching that Secret Life of Us at the time as a young Indigenous man, looking at it and going, there now. We don't have to explain that she's Aboriginal and why is she Aboriginal hanging out with these white fellas. But, yeah, so in regards to the idea, I don't know. You go, G.
You know, I don't know. Like my perception of the idea of colorblind casting just is unrealistic, you know, on both sides, I think, because quite political, you know, already. So, yeah, I think we can pretend. But, you know, it's only now that things are starting to shift. I think, well, the hardest thing would be to shift the perception of audience members.
Because they would be,
yeah. Like in a way that they would find it more accepting as opposed to jarring. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd find it quite interesting.
Well, you guys have started your tour. Are you actually seeing audiences kind of get on board and, like, doing what you're hoping, G, of...
Oh, that's a good question, because I don't yarn with the audience members in the foyer afterwards. I would only be assuming that they, you know, at first it would be quite jarring for them to see all of us on stage. You know, I can imagine that would be jarring at first. Then they would probably get into the show and not even worry about it.
It's a suspension of disbelief.
But there is, yeah, well, I mean, we did have a Q&A in Melbs. And, one of the audience members stayed behind to talk about how they saw the very first production of Belle, which was in 1966, and it was all white, male, I believe. So even in this, like in our show, we've got five female, five male. So that in itself is already a little bit jarring for people too. So not only do we have...
Mark Antony.
Yeah. Not only do we have a variety of... people on stage, but we also have women playing the perceived men's roles within the plays as well. So, yeah, I think we're doing, I don't know, I can only assume that we're doing some pretty amazing social justice right now by being all the things in this particular show.
People seem to clap real loud at the end.
Maybe they say helps. Bravo and they say outstanding, and that's quite nice.
Yeah, so maybe. Do you know what, actually? I had this yarn up with friends of mine last night, and they were saying for them, who they're not necessarily traditional theatre goers, you might say, they said the jarring thing for them at first was actually just the first few minutes of getting into the language.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with the how people, that didn't come up.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, but they're friends with you.
That's true.
So that's a little bit different. I don't know. We can only assume things. We're just saying a lot of things.
I've been struggling with this. Why do we tell Shakespeare's stories? One of the interesting things is his great stories, whether they're Hamlet or Scottish play or Julius Caesar, is that we actually get a fairly good gamut of the human story or the human condition and people struggling within the actions that they have to do versus what, you know, they may or may not feel within themselves.
I feel like that would be the reason why people keep coming back to it, because it's like when we kind of think about it, Shakespeare is very, it's his work is quite elitist in that it's for, I don't know, people that are into literature with a capital L. But when you kind of look at it, it's still discussing these sort of aspects of our society in terms of race and gender and class. And
Yeah. I think you're right. You know what, one of the things, I actually had this, I've had this conversation with a few people at Bell, and just that thing of, yes, I suppose traditionally it is, you know, Shakespeare is seen as this elitist thing, but I think what they're trying to do and Bell are trying to do is go, but it's not. And I think that's also one of the things we, G and I just had the delight of actually going and chatting to the Aboriginal students at WAPA. Who are doing the Indigenous Theatre course there, shout out to that mob. And we were just saying how important it is to be able to perform within your own voice and not necessarily do this English, you know, gammon accent. Kind of English accent and rather
what
speak.
That is.
Mm. Yeah, and rather actually be true to yourself and true to your mob and true to the voice that you have and how it does translate within Shakespeare really, really well. And I can say from my perspective of watching G work is absolutely that. You make it yours.
I have to. I can't talk that other way.
Actors Genoa Gila and Russell Smith speaking with Rudy Bremer. And Bell Shakespeare's Julius Caesar is currently touring nationally. For the full dates, go to bellshakespeare.com.au.